ain't misbehaving. They're just behaving.
Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you.
Welcome to this episode of Ain't Misbehaving.
I'm Dr. Louisa, and I'm here to talk about your pets, some problems you may have,
and this episode's bonus question.
Here is this episode's bonus question. What do both veterinarians and cat lovers usually call little cats with a white, black, red, and cream-colored coat?
Stay tuned for the answer.
Here I am talking about puppies again. First, we heard them coming out into the world. Then, we followed them during the first few weeks of life. And now, you're ready to bring that puppy home and start life with your family. In all the excitement of the new family member, it is easy to forget that there is a ticking clock. The secondary socialization period window closes about 14 to 16 weeks of age. So there is less than 2 months for you to give your puppy the start they need. You could undo a lot of the early neurological stimulation and enrichment done by the breeder by forgetting to do important socialization. There is a checklist in Sophia Yin's book, Perfect Puppy in 7 Days. I love this book. Dr. Yin goes into detail about what I have talked about in prior episodes. Things like what happens with puppies from the day they are born through the sensitive periods and socialization. She has a comprehensive list of things we know about socialization, like getting the puppy out to meet people, but she also lists things we may not think about to have the puppy exposed to. Things like plastic bags blowing in the wind, wheelchairs, manhole covers, and stairs. Yes, stairs. One dog that I got when he was 6 months old had been raised in a one-level house. I lived in a house at the bottom of 35 stairs. For the first 2 weeks I had him, I had to carry him up and down the stairs when we needed to go someplace. We worked on going up one stair, then 2 stairs, and on up to 35 stairs over those weeks. I finally got him to go up and down by himself, and I also developed some impressive biceps. The thing I love about Dr. Yin's socialization checklist is that she has a rating system for how your puppy reacts to the novel stimuli. Are they happy and relaxed, or do they hang back? Will they take a treat? To me, this is a vital test. Eating and anxiety are incompatible. So if the pup won't take a yummy treat, they are too anxious in that situation, and you need to go more slowly at a greater distance for that particular session. So, if you get your pup at 8 weeks of age, you have only 6 to 8 weeks to catch that window of time where the puppy is open to meeting and greeting the world. You have maybe 2 months to get your puppy out and have wonderful experiences with those things that might come into contact with later. So, noises like fireworks, different surfaces like grass and concrete, different dishes like metal and plastic, body handling of the toes, teeth, and ears, and of course, vet visits to have a puppy party. No needles, just treats. Also, during this time, invite your puppy to explore a crate. Hide treats inside. Toss in a toy so that they go in and get it and can come right back out. This is the time to make it a fun, safe place. Closing the door comes later. At this age, I don't use any corrections. They are too young to know what that means. All it means to them is that you have become a scary thing. One of my favorite cartoons has a puppy sitting before a judge on a high bench in a black robe and getting ready to bang his gavel. Then the judge says, "Not guilty, because puppies do these things." So any time the puppy does something you don't like, it is not the puppy's fault. They ain't misbehaving, they're just behaving. So if they are chewing on your favorite pillow or barking at the cat, Simply remove them from the situation and give them a substitute toy or treat to keep their mouth busy. Then later, we can teach them what it is we like them to do. First of all, the pup must learn to trust us. By having fun with your pup and not trying to turn them into an adult before they are ready, then we become a loving friend and the pup learns to trust us. The puppy learns that you will keep them safe in scary situations. When I first got my dog Flicka, I took her with me wherever I could. Once I took her to Titlow Park so she could experience the beach and see people and other dogs in a controlled situation. At least, I thought it was controlled. As I was getting her back to the car, a train came by. Now, if you have ever been to Titlow, you will know that the train blows its whistle right where the crossing and the parking lot are, and you will know that it is loud. Flicka freaked out and started to run under the car. But I had her on a leash and harness so I could pull her back and just hold her tight until the train was gone. So she got scared, but I held her until it was over. I took her there again, but stayed at the farthest distance from the train tracks and fed her her favorite treats. Now we go to Titlow every so often to walk the paths. The trains go by, and she isn't fazed by them now. There is some training that should be done with puppies rather than waiting until they're older. These things are done before sit, stay, down. Those things can be taught any time. The only dog that isn't easily taught to sit is one that has arthritis in the backs and hips, and those dogs who are too anxious to take food. Oh yes, and dogs like dachshunds and corgis, it's really hard to tell when they're sitting. There are some things that are important to teach at this age, and some things that are easier to teach as a puppy. Bite inhibition might be the most important. Even well-tempered dogs have strong jaws, and if startled or in pain, they can give a reflexive bite to a human. And dogs that bite humans are not well-tolerated, even if they are well-tempered. Puppies learn a lot about bite inhibition from their littermates and their mom. Puppies have needle-sharp teeth that can't inflict too much damage, but they do sting. When a pup bites too hard in play, the littermate will yip and stop playing. Then, after just a few seconds, they play again, this time a little more gently. So the same principle holds for people, too. When playing with your pup and you feel teeth, just stop playing. No need to scream or howl. Just let the pup know that it hurts when they put their teeth on you. We want puppies to learn that human skin is so very fragile. So please, don't wear leather gloves or other protection when playing with a puppy. They will just learn to bite harder. Puppies must learn bite inhibition before their adult teeth come in. The baby teeth fall out and the adult teeth erupt. This happens between 4 and 6 months of age. Teaching bite inhibition after that age is much harder and may take help from an experienced trainer. To give you an idea how important this is, let's talk about what a bite looks like. Here is Dr. Ian Dunbar's dog bite scale. Level 1. Obnoxious or aggressive behavior like snapping, but no skin contact by teeth. Level 2. Skin contact by teeth, but no skin puncture. However, there may be skin nicks less than 1/10 of an inch deep, and slight bleeding caused by forward or lateral movement of teeth against skin, but no vertical punctures. Level 3. 1 to 4 punctures from a single bite with no puncture deeper than half the length of the dog's canine teeth. There may be lacerations in a single direction caused by the victim pulling the hand away or the owner pulling the dog away, or gravity where a little dog jumps, bites, and drops to the floor. Level 4. 1 to 4 punctures from a single bite with at least one puncture deeper than half the length of the dog's canine teeth. It may also have deep bruising around the wound when the dog held on and bore down, or lacerations in both directions where the dog held on and shook its head from side to side. Level 5. Multiple bite incident with at least 2 level 4 bites or multiple attacked incidents with at least 1 level 4 bite in each. Level 6. The victim is dead. Yes, dead. Anything greater than a level 3 bite is reportable to animal control. There may be litigation involved. I have been called as an expert witness for some dogs who behaved like this. If found to be dangerous, they may be restricted to their property or only walked with a muzzle. There may even be an order for the dog to be euthanized. This is why teaching bite inhibition as a puppy is so important. It can save their life. Teaching body handling is also a must. This can go hand in hand with bite inhibition. It can be part of playing with the puppy. Tickle the belly, grab the foot, and then if they bite too hard, the fun stops. Touching the feet and ears should be part of a game that the pup loves. Grabbing the foot can be the signal that a game is starting. Poking the ears while nuzzling the belly can mean a toy will appear. Opening the mouth to see the teeth can mean a treat will be placed in the mouth. Even grabbing the collar. They need to know that you grabbing their collar is fun. Then, when you need to grab them to keep them from running into the street, they won't turn around and try to bite. All of this is done with treats and toys and hugs and kisses. Another vital lesson to teach is the recall. Dogs that don't come when called are either sentenced to a life on a leash or a short life in front of a car. So the first thing to teach them is their name. Say, Bowser, and toss a treat. A treat is better than a toy for this because the treat will be quickly eaten and the lesson can proceed more quickly. Once Bowser is alerting to his name, wait for him to come toward you before tossing the treat. Progress to them coming up to you for the treat. Then vary the exercise by waiting for them to sit before getting the treat or grabbing the collar and giving the treat. All of this reinforces the behavior of coming to you when his name is called. So rather than the pup's name meaning, stop that, come here, you're in trouble, the puppy learns that their name means, oh, come here, I love you. Another very important thing for them to learn at this age is house training. I don't like the term house breaking. Nothing is being broken. Instead, a habit is being formed, and when done early, it is a hard habit to break. Let me tell you how hard it is to break. When I was in my late 20s, I lived in a cabin in the woods, pretty luxurious with electricity and running water, but no bathroom. Showers were taken at a local park facility. I could go a week before I had to do that, but there was something else I had to do daily, or more often. The toilet was a hole in the ground, outside, covered with a little house. Yes, an outhouse. I fixed it up with some bright paint and a heart-shaped toilet seat. Not too bad. Then, after about 6 months of living there, I went back to visit my parents at the house I grew up in. I knew where the bathroom was, but when I felt the call of nature, instead of going to that room, the one I had gone to my whole childhood, I headed to the front door. Pure habit. A new habit. If that could happen to me after only 6 months of an outhouse, imagine what 6 months of a habit can do for your pup. The secret is a schedule. You can predict when your puppy will need to go. Upon waking, either in the morning or from a nap, after eating and drinking, and after playing. So taking them out to your choice of a potty area each time will instill this habit. But, and this is a big but, vigilance is required. The puppy must be in your line of vision or in a crate at all times. If the pup makes a mistake, it is not their fault. Do not yell at them. Do not push their nose in it. This only makes them learn to be afraid of you, and next time, they might go someplace secret. I was told the story of someone who, when trying to teach the pup to go outside to poop, they would push the pup's nose in the poop and throw them outside. The pup learned a good lesson. It learned to poop inside, touch it with its nose, and run outside. And there is only one use for a rolled-up newspaper in house training. When the puppy makes a mistake, roll up the newspaper and smack yourself in the head, saying, "Watch the puppy, watch the puppy." It really helps to have a notepad to mark what time the puppy eliminates. This will give you more information on predicting when to take them out. However, teaching family members to mark a time on a notepad is much harder than teaching a puppy to eliminate outside. Other things can be easy to teach a puppy, but can also be taught to an older dog. Leave it, touch my hand, and go home are all helpful behaviors for a dog to have. Leave it means to come away from whatever smelly thing is on the sidewalk or whatever distraction is interfering with what we are doing now. Touch my hand means you put your nose on my hand. This can be useful for moving the dog out of the way. And go home means to take off and go to your house. This is useful because if your dog does happen to get out and someone sees it, often they will say, "Go home." And the dog thinks, "Oh yeah, there's our treats at home." Leave it is fun to teach. I call it Zen attention. Hold a yummy treat in one hand. Let your dog sniff it, but don't let him have it. Wait, say nothing. This is the Zen part for you. It may take a while. He will probably lick or paw at your hand. Just wait and watch his nose closely. As soon as he backs off from your hand, open your hand and give the treat. It may only be a nanosecond at first, but if you reinforce it, it will tend to be repeated. From now on, you shouldn't have to wait so long for him to move his nose from your hand to get the treat. He is learning that to get something, he must give it up. This is the Zen part for the dog. Once he is really good at that and is not even trying to touch your hand, then wait for him to look at you. It may only be a flick of the eyebrow at first, but again, simply open your hand for him to get the treat. Once the dog is looking at you consistently, you can add a leave it cue. Leave it can come to mean look at me. Once the dog understands this part of it and is readily looking at you when you say leave it, you can have the treat in your open hand. If the dog moves towards the treat, simply close your hand over it. When the dog looks at you, give the treat. You can vary this game by holding the treat at different places and by giving a different and better treat from the other hand. This way, they can learn that if they give something up, chances are they will get something even better. The next step is to put the treat on the floor. Use a treat that is not a favorite, or maybe even use a toy. When the dog looks at it, say leave it and give the good treat from your hand. Practice with this. Uninteresting items first, then start with things that your dog may want to grab and eat. Food-stained paper towels or cooked vegetables, things that might be interesting but not as good as the treat you have. Also, touch is a very useful behavior to teach. It can be used to move your dog out of the way. It can be used as a way to teach a retrieve. It can also help stack your dog in the show ring. Just hold out your hand. Some trainers like to use one finger. Some trainers like to use two or three fingers, since these are positions not often used when we are just talking with someone. You wouldn't want your dog to jump up to your hand every time you pointed at something. When you hold out your fingers, the dog might be curious and investigate with his nose. Just give a treat. Move your hand and then put it back, signaling a new session. Repeat a few times, then end the session. Don't overdo it. Once your dog is consistently touching your hand target, then add the cue. It doesn't take long for them to get the idea. These cues can be done with a clicker, too. click after saying the Q word. Say leave it. Then when your dog looks at you, click and treat. Say touch. And when your dog moves towards your fingers, click and treat. Teaching the cue go home can save your dog's life. If someone sees a loose dog, often the first thing they say is, go home. And if that means to the dog, oh yeah, there are treats waiting for me, then they are more likely to head to home. So each time you come home with your dog, before you open the door, say, go home, and when inside, get them a treat. It's all about love. You are the source of all good things, food, play, warmth, and then love comes naturally. So love your new puppy and keep them safe. We will be back to talk more about living with your dog, cat, or other household members. Here's the answer to this episode's bonus question, which was, what do both veterinarians and cat lovers usually call little cats with a white, black, red, and cream-colored coat? Well, little cats are usually called kittens.
Join us again for more sagas from the world of pet behavior problems. This is Dr. Louisa reminding you,
they ain't misbehaving, they're just behaving.
I don't stay out late, don't care to go. I'm home about 8, just me and my radio. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you.